Okay, Beseder. Let's start. Tet Zayin Amud Bet. We did Tet Zayin Amud Aleph last time. So this is the back half of that daf. And we'll start at the top. The sugya that we're going to learn in depth is going to be in the middle. So it should, at the top it'll say V'tokin and Marian, which is what we ended with last time. Okay? And we're starting the second line over there.
I was thinking
that Rashi should have been
started.
Oh, Rashi's on the left side. Okay. Amar b'yitzchak kol shana she'in tokin la b'tchilata, meri'in la b'sofa. My time with the law yard of Sata. So last time, remember, we learned about blowing the shofar and how important it was to blow the shofar twice in the morning, at least before the Shmoneh Esrei and after the Shmoneh Esrei. And the reason was kedei la'arbev et ha'satan, to confuse the satan. We spoke about it a little bit in the drasha and Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Yitzchak says it's important to do it, and if you don't do it at the beginning of the year, then it will be a bad year at the end of the year. Now, what happens in the year when, you know, Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos? And you can't do it at least on the first day.
You
always blow shofar on the second day. But also, the Mefarshim point out that you know, it's a mitzvah to not blow it on Shabbos when it's on Shabbos, because that's following the Gzeira Derabanan. Anyways,
following directions.
The theme of the night.
So how do you confuse the satan if you're not blowing shofar?
That's a good question. So maybe there's compensation for that. All right. Am Rabbi Yisrael Kol Shana Shorsha B'Tchilata Mitasheret B'Sofa Shneimar Bereshit Hashana Mereshit K'tiv V'Ad Acharit Sofa Sheyesh La'Acharit. The Gemara notices that the word Reshit is written without an Aleph. Now, why that helps exactly is not clear, because actually, no, it doesn't matter. Rash without an Aleph is a poor person. Rashi says She Yisrael Osin Atzman Rashin Rosh Hashanah. They make themselves out like they're poor, and so they beg God. So if you properly beg God on Rosh Hashanah with Bakashot and Tachanunim, then the end of the year is going to be good.
Rashin
Kedalin Ukirashin, like poor people. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, a series of statements by Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein danin et ha'adam elo lefi ma'asav shel ota sha'a.
By the way, going back to Rashin, is that why most of the tefillot are more about us? They're quite selfish. They're more about ourselves and we're asking for monetary things. We're asking
In general? You mean on Rosh Hashanah?
On Rosh Hashanah.
Is that true?
On Rosh Hashanah, even though I was reading something the other day, and Yom Kippur even, like the whole, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and
he's asking for the rain to be at the right time.
Ladies giving birth and these kind of things, which are very mundane, the ikkar of the tefillah is very mundane.
In general, that's the case, that whenever we pray in Gashmias terms. So it's hard to say what it looks like to pray for spiritual things, because we don't usually pray for spiritual things. We just don't.
And
bracha and refuah.
Those are the two brachot.
Which
are more like material.
For some social good, also.
We start with
the Amida. Well, I think that is also something that's physical, isn't it? We're asking for wisdom. We're asking for wisdom for ourselves.
Yeah, but also insight and understanding.
Well, we're getting to the nature of tefillah. The nature of tefillah is tachanunim, is to ask Hashem for things. If that's what you're pointing out, that's 100% true. The nature of tefillah, more than the halel, more than the hoda'ah, is actually to ask Hashem for things. And that's what Rashi is getting at over here, is that we need to get that right on Rosh Hashanah, that we realize that we need to ask for things. So Rav Yitzchak's next statement, though, gets us into the Kriyat HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah. Of the first and the second day are covered over here. So here we have, Ein danin et ha'adam elo lefi ma'asav shel ota sha'ah. Right, this was from the Kriyat HaTorah of the first day, when Yishmael and Hagar are kicked out of the home of Avram, and they're out in the wilderness, and Hashem listens to him, Kasher Husham. And Rav Yitzchak comments over here that with regards to din, Hashem only judges us according to who we are at the moment. Which is a very profound statement that needs to be opened up, but I don't think we're going to have time for it tonight. I will say, though, that somebody this year, I forget who, did ask me, you know, why is the Kriyat HaTorah Rosh Hashanah about Yishmael? Like, why is this part about Yishmael? The next day about Akedah Yitzhak makes perfect sense. So, on the one hand, the simple answer might be that originally it was all one Kriyat HaTorah, and it's just one, it's 2 days, so you have to fill 2 days. But certainly Rav Yitzchak is contributing over here the idea that, you learn something about Rosh Hashanah from the story of Yishmael, of Kasher Husham.
Mr. Being
brazen,
why does the second
day
really make absolute sense?
Kedat Yitzchak.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, Kedat Yitzchak. Shofar Shalayim.
We'd pick five readings before that one.
I don't think I would.
What?
No, that's not exciting at all. Seder, but Akedat Yitzchak appears to be, inextricably intertwined with. It was the previous stuff.
And he says
that Shofar Shalayil as Akedat Yitzchak. So
comes from where?
Rav Eitan spoke about the.
Maybe it's in the word Abraham sacrificed their son.
Yeah, but that's more about Abraham and his decision. Yeah, no, there are definitely thematic connections over there. Now Rav Yisrael turns to. In a second, he'll turn to the second reading. He's making a bunch of statements over here about din. So here he says there are three things that when a person goes through these experiences, so his avonot, his sins, are recalled. And for different reasons. So here they are. Kirnatui, iyun tfila, umoser din al chavero. So what are these? What's a kirnatui? So kirnatui is a wall which is rickety. Okay? And as you walk past it, it could fall on you. So why is it maskirina avonotav shel adam? Because when a person undergoes a dangerous situation, so there's a risk that his sins will cause the danger to hurt him or to kill him. We say the same thing about a woman when she undergoes childbirth, that's a moment that's very dangerous for her, and that it's tenuous. She needs a lot of schuyot to get through it, because when danger comes upon you, it's more likely that something bad will happen to you, and you need to be protected from that. The second one is iyun tfila. Now this actually is a very difficult term. Anybody know what iyun tfila is? What's iyun tfila?
Every morning, right?
What do you mean? Okay. So what is? So that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So over here, it's sandwiched between kir natui and moser din al chaveru, right? Okay. So look at Rashi. So Rashi helps us, and he says we could give a whole shiur on this, but on this Rashi tells us, by the way, but we're not going to. So mechal tfilato shethei nishmat. This is, the depths of this Rashi. Apparently, when a person davens and expects that his prayer will come true, not great, right? And then he even puts more power into it because he thinks the more I put into it, the more likely it will come true. If you daven for your friend, then you answered first. That there is that concept. We're going to see something very similar to that soon. I don't think it's connected to this. What Rashi is saying is simply that, if a person prays for something and expects that it's going to come true, so then, Hashem will look at it a little bit more carefully, and maybe he'll discover that, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. What?
The
Hagot
the
Bach
adds.
Right, it's the sense that he's sure. Yeah. If you look at Tosos on the side, actually, it's a little long, we're not going to read the whole thing. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Iyun Tfila Dahacha, Ki Hav Digat Pashat, the Gimel Dorim, In Adam Nitzol Mehem, Kol Yom. It's even worse, a person won't be saved from it. V'kachashiv Iyun Tfila, Tomar She'en Mechavein Libo B'Tfila Tov. Rabbeinu Tam does something different with it. He does the exact opposite of Rashi. Rashi says, you're so sure about your tefillah because you're so concentrating, and you're concentrating even extra because you know that the more you concentrate, the more likely it is that Hashem will come through. Right? Which is apparently wrong. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, he says, no, your tefillah means it's like Lashon Tzagi Nohar almost. You're not paying attention to your tefillah. So it's the disinterested tefillah.
Is Rabbeinu Tam the fetus theorem thing, like why bother if you're waiting up in the morning and you're going to shul and you're doing all the tefillah, you put on the morning, you're tired in the morning, like, if Rabbeinu Tam saying don't bother
but I think we can forgive him for saying that, you know, tefillah without kavanah is not a great thing. At least, you know, it's not as good as tefillah with kavanah. She'ein b'chav en libov
tefillah. Is it that you kind of go
repetitively,
one day you'll have to
put on? I would recommend continuing to daven even without kavanah, for the hopes that even one day out of 365 you have kavanah. That's what I learned when I was young, and it's true. What Rabbeinu Tam is pointing out is that there is obviously something deficient, and in fact, over here it says you can't avoid it, it's going to happen. Kedamar Yerushalmi Brachos. Actually, in fact, over here, I'm sorry, you know, over here, what Rabbeinu Tam said is comparing it to, he's kind of less reading this Gemara as opposed to the Gemara over there in Gittin, which all the Gemara in Gittin says over there is that it's inevitable that a person will daven without kavanah. Ein adam nitzol mehen. Oh, it's inevitable that a person is going to daven without kavanah. It's going to happen. And in fact, he quotes this Yerushalmi. This is a Yerushalmi not to be missed. This is what Rav Schachter calls a collector's item. Okay? I remember reading this Yerushalmi when I was in high school, and I forgot it. Kedamar b'Yerushalmi debrachos perek hayakorah amar b'chia rava min yoma lo kavanit elachad zman b'ayit mechavanit v'harayit b'libi v'amri man alal kumi malka kadmoi al kafta. Basically saying, you know, it happens all the time. A day doesn't go by that I don't daven a tefillah without paying attention, without kavanah. And this is rava, amar b'chia. And then there's more. Basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's Aramaic and I don't remember the meaning of everything, but basically, each one describes what he thinks about when he davens. This one's counting clouds. This one is counting the pebbles on the ground. This one is spacing out in this way. Yeah, every single one of them is saying, you know, this is what happens to me when I dive in.
Everybody has a different distraction.
I'm debugging the program that I wrote during the day. I'm coming up with a drasha for next week. And, you know, everybody's got, and this is Yerushalmi. You know, this is what the rabbis are saying is what happens to them.
So we're playing the football game I saw on TV.
Many times, in Malasot, it happens. Right, this is what Ami was talking about. Dechimati lemodim havakara megarme. When I get to modim, I just reflexively, you know, lean over. But nonetheless, it's not good when a person davens and he doesn't have kavanah. So Hashem remembers his sins. In other words, you're basically tuning into Hashem, but on the other hand, you're not. You know, you're not. It's like walking into the king's palace and then looking around and not actually looking at the king. So you're in the king's palace, which is great. On the other hand, exactly. On the other hand, you're looking at your phone the whole time, so he's not going to be happy. You know, it's good that you showed up. It's good that you showed up, but you know, what are you doing here?
Let's assume that the whole thing of
Yom Tzvilah is. It's a bit of time. That's how he reads it. Rashi read it completely differently.
Rashi's mind is more problematic because what is the basis for that being problematic? Did you actually expect it to happen? Did you put more effort into that and more concentration? You can see how those would all be bad things. Not.
Well, first of all, Tosfos in a line, and the next line disagrees with the Rebbeinu Tam and agrees with Rashi. As well as the Gemara in Brachos that says something very similar, it says that Iyun Tefillah causes Ka'ev Lev. Now, there it's actually clearer, because Rashi over there says it causes Ka'ev Lev because a person expects to get what he. Adavid for, and then when he doesn't, you know, he's in psychological, physical pain. Here it's less clear because here it sounds like it's divine that maskirin abonatav shal adam. It's less clear. But on the other hand, what Rashi might be saying is, look, if you're going to daven and you're going to beg Hashem, and maybe you'll even say, you'll bargain with Hashem and say, Hashem, come on, I deserve this. You know, I daven really hard. I deserve this. So then Hashem turns and says, well, let's see. That's what will happen in those situations.
Cannot be a very cultural base meaning that you're so involved in fear that you remove yourself from the surroundings and are susceptible to danger.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Like the Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Chinen in Mendoza.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Let's see. Here, take a look. Actually, you know what? Look, last three lines of the Tosfos. Right here. Am Rav Yitzchak, Shlosha Dvarim Maskir Venotam Shel Adam. This is from the Gemara, I guess also in Brachos. Iyun Tfila, Shalite Kach Mefash, this is how Tosfos explains this. Shalite Kach Mefash Vashin B'masav Lomar Boteach Hu B'Skiyotav. So it's what I said. That's how Tosfos understands it. Although Mike, I acknowledge what you're saying is definitely possible. And could be Pshat and Rashi, because Rashi doesn't really finish the thought. Because Rashi says, "Mitametz lechaven libo," so you're saying that while he's doing that, something could happen to him. It's possible. But that's not how Tosos reads it. Maybe I'm influenced by Tosos. And that's why I said what I said. So good. So we've come up with three possibilities of how this could work. One possibility is what Rabbi Natam says, that it's maskirin avodatav shel adam because a person's not paying attention. Another possibility is what Tosos says on the bottom, that while you're paying attention, you're paying a little too much attention, and you seem to be demanding of God that he do what you say, and in which case Hashem says, well, let's see if you deserve it. And the final pshat, what Mike said, is maybe we could say pshat and Rashi, that while you're paying too much attention, you could be distracted, and it would be the same as Kir Natui. It could be the same as the dangerous wall, and that you know, anything could happen to you while you're immersed in your tefillah. It's possible. Okay, let's keep going. Now he gets to the third one.
What is the third one?
Tam Rabbi Avin Kol Moser Din Al Chaveru Hunan Ashtchila. That if you are Moser Din, a Moser is a person who kind of tattletales and tells, and somebody gives him into the authorities. Controversial issue nowadays. Person who causes another person to get Din, so that the one who, you know, the tattletaler, so to speak, will be hit first. Shneimar. This is the inverse of what Joe was saying before about davening for other people. Right. It connects, apparently, the anger that Sarai felt to her death, basically. Right? This we should pay attention to. There are four ways that you can overcome a gzar din. You can rip it up. Last week, remember, or 2 weeks ago, when we learned, we said that the gzar din is put down on Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, let's say, and then over the course of the year, you have the opportunity to rip it up. That seemed to be the maskan of the Gemara. That's how it works. The din is only on Rosh Hashanah, according to the rabbis, and then after that, all you can do is rip it up. So how do you rip it up? Tzedaka, tzaka, shinui Hashem, v'shinui ma'aseh. So at least three of these seem to be captured in the Tana Tokef, right? If you open up any Siddur in Tana Tokef, and it says three things:
tshuva,
tefila,
tzedaka.
Tefila, tzedaka. And on top of each one, it says something else. So for tshuva, it says tzom. For tefila, it says tzaka, and tzedaka,
mamon.
It says mamon. Right.
Kol.
What?
Tefila is kol.
Depends on which Siddur, maybe.
All of them are Gematria 136.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Good.
That's why it says, Ishbar...
136.
Ishbar lo yavin et.
Lo yida, Ishbar lo yavin et.
Lo yida, ve'usi lo yavin et zot.
Okay.
You have to be mevin zot, which is 408, which is three times 136.
Wow.
You have to understand all the three of them.
Uh-huh.
And Ishbar, Baal is 272, that's the one who only takes two of them and not all three.
Nice.
Alright, very good.
Nice.
Very good.
If for no other reason you came for this, if for nothing else.
So, what are the four? So, you have Tzedakah. Right, that fits. Tzaka, which could be, it still could be Tefillah. Yeah. Then you have Shinu Hashem and Shinu Maaseh, which may be the same thing. Obviously, they're four, but they're connected to each other. Shinu Maaseh certainly sounds like Tshuva. Shinu Hashem, depending how you understand it, also seems to be, is most likely connected to Tshuva, the way that we normally understand it. Just changing your name doesn't necessarily do anything. And it must make you a fundamental change in the person as well. Now, each one gets its own proof text. Tztaka, dechtivu tztaka, tatzel mimavet. Simple enough. Tzaka, dechtiv vayitzaku al Hashem, batzar lahem, umun sukhtayem, yotzi'em. So this is a pasuk from Tehillim that says that if you call out to Hashem, umimutzukotem, yotzeihem, it'll save you from your mitzuka. Shinu Hashem, dechtiv Sarai ishtecha lo tikra at shma Sarai ki Sara shma. That's the changing of Sarai's name. Obviously, Avram could have gotten the same treatment. Uchtiv uveirachti ota vegam natati mimena lecha ben. Right, that's what happened. Her name was changed, and it changed her fate. Right, that she became pregnant after that. Shinu imase, dechtiv vayar alehim et maasehem. This is by Ninveh, I believe, right? Because they changed their ma'asim. Some say even even the changing of a place. The Rambam lists all of these, by the way. The Rambam puts all of these in his Hilchot Shuvah of ways of changing who you are. Shinu Hashem, Shinu Ma'aseh, Shinu Makom.
How do you,
it doesn't always do what you want it to do. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. But sometimes it does work. Who knows?
Wouldn't this seem to indicate that
this is why people change their name, change a baby's name if they're sick. Yeah. Ksav Sofer changed the son's name. Son was born, Ksav Sofer is born...
Shimon.
And then he became Avram Binyamin, I think. I think Avram Binyamin, because he was very sick as a baby. Which is ironic because the Chassam Sofer was very against giving two names.
No, he was very against it.
What?
Normally
they
add rather than replace.
Right, he was
saying
he
added
to replace
like
it. He really didn't like two names. He didn't like two names.
Wouldn't this seem to indicate that just as I'm doing teshuvah, hopefully, continuously, and giving tzedakah continuously, hopefully, perhaps I should keep changing my name continuously, according to this. Today I'm Yosef, tomorrow I'll be Chaim, the next day, next week I'll be Raphael, or...
It could be that all the good was done for your original name.
The week after you'll be done, the week after dead.
Look, if you felt like the tshuva that you needed to do was so drastic, then yeah. But for most people, Shinui Maaseh is sufficient. I do actually have a Rebbe who he and his wife were married for a few years and didn't have any children. And then they met Aliyah. And they can now have, I think, 6 children now. I don't know how many years exactly they were married, but enough that he mentioned it to me as being something that caused them distress. And then when they met Aliyah, they had 6 children. I think maybe even more.
We have a cousin whose daughter, Chaya, her children weren't getting married. And they went to Rabbi Yoshev. Rabbi Yoshev said... He didn't approve of names like Chaya. They should be biblical names, according to Rabbi Yoshev.
No, Chaim Kanievsky, I think, he said that.
Was it? I thought they were.
It was in the news that he said that.
Yes. So
even though his name is Chaim.
So they said no. That was the name was Shira.
Oh yes.
They said Shira's a nice name. It's singing. He says, do you want to sing or do you want them to get married?
Right.
So he changed the name to Shifra.
Yeah, I remember the continuation of that story. I think
and
was
the children
also
get married.
But they said we named her Shira because she was born on Parshas Shira. So he said, "What if she was born on Parshas Para? What would you have done?" But I thought it was ironic because Chaim Kanievsky's name is Chaim, and it's not a biblical name. It's a biblical name. Okay, but whatever. Anyways, okay. V'idach. Here's the other point, another reason to make Aliyah. In other words, others, why wouldn't you say Shinui Makom? Meaning it's a good proof. Why didn't everybody say Shinui Makom helps you? So the answer is, some say it wasn't Stam Shinui Makom, it was Dafka moving to Eretz Yisrael that day. It wasn't Shinui Makom, it was Eretz Yisrael. If you would have moved to, from Baghdad to
China,
so that would, or Brooklyn, it wouldn't have helped. All right. V'yamar v'yitzchak, chayav adam lahakbil pnei rabo beregel. Shneimar madua at halechat elav hayom lo chodesh v'lo shabbat v'chad v'chodesh shabbat yibay lel meza. Right? A pasuk from, by the Malachim. So who is this? This is a Shunamit who would go to Shunamit who with Elisha?
Yeah.
Right. So, but Michlal, that it was normal to go on a regular on Rosh Chodesh or on Shabbat. So then from there we learned that it's a mitzvah to go see a Rebbe on regular. And then, this is a lechem meisim for tomorrow. Amar v'yisa chayav adam letare atatzmo beregel. You have to be metare yourself. Shneimar ubenivlatam lo tigau. Tanina miyachar ubenivlatam lo tigau. Yochel yuhu yisrael muzharin al magad avela tamunomor. Emor alakonim b'nei aron muzharin b'nei yisrael ein muzharin. Well, the Rem Kalvachomer, Matuma Hamura, Kohen, Mizarin, Israelim, Enan, Mizarin, Tumakala, Lokoshikin, the Matam Lamar, but you will let them with the guy over Regal. Okay, long Josh, I don't want to get into it. That teaches us that we're supposed to be Matar ourselves by Regal so that we can go to the Beit HaMikdash, right? For Yom Kippur as well, the Minag is to go to the Mikvah. Alright, now we get to the main event. Amar of Krispadai. Amar of Krispadai, Amar of Yochanan. Shlosha Svarim. Niftachin b'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are open on Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel Rishayim Gemurin, echad shel Tzadikim Gemurin, echad shel Beinoniyim. So there are three books, right? There's the book of the Tzadikim, there's the book of the Rishayim, and then there's the book of the Beinoniyim. Tzadikim Gemurin nechtavin v'nechtamin la'alter l'chayim. Rishayim Gemurin nechtavin v'nechtamin la'alter l'mita. Beinoniyim tuluyin v'omdin. Mirosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. Zachu nechtavin l'chayim. Lo zachu nechtavin l'mita. All right. What kind of questions? We won't answer the questions now, but what questions might we have on this Maimer?
I don't understand anything.
Okay. It seems.
What is it?
What do you mean?
Three books.
Why would you need three books?
Because a person can move from one to the other. I mean, why would it be driven by the identity rather than actually whether there's Sefer Chaim or Sefer Chaim?
It says that the Tzadikim are written immediately Sefer Chaim and the Rishayim are written immediately Sefer Chaim.
Right. That seems like they. Yeah.
I was about to say that.
Right? No, I just said it's
Nechtavin.
Huh? It sounds like they can. It sounds like they're done. Just reading the Gemara.
It sounds like Rosh and Gamor.
Rasha is done on Rosh Hashanah. The Tzaddik is done on Rosh Hashanah. The only thing that Yom Kippur helps for, the only thing that Aseret Yom Kippur helps for, is for the Beinonim. I mean, that's what it sounds like. That you can't ask the question why do we need that. But that's what the Gemara says.
That's why the Tzaddik can do on Yom Kippur.
Nothing. Right, they go to the Beit HaMikdash and they watch.
If you think of yourself,
yeah, good, yeah, that's true. Also, you don't.
If
know,
you think
so
of
you
yourself as a Tzaddik Gomor, then you aren't.
What's the concept of the concept of Tzaddik Gomor? What is it?
Okay. Good. So you're always asking a technical question. How do we define our terms? What's a Tzaddik Gomor? What's a Rasha Gomor? What's a Beinoni? Good technical question. I accept that question. What other questions might we have?
That's irrelevant. Because it's not you deciding it, it's Hashem deciding it.
No.
Okay, but we still like to know.
Yeah.
I would like to know. What does it mean to be
and
Tzadik Gomor? I want to know how to qualify. Maybe I can qualify.
Into the book that you're Russia from 1 minute to the next. You're suddenly
Russia Gomor.
It sounds like if you're a Tzadik Gomor, you're done.
It's not just a Russia.
Maybe because that's who you are, so you don't have to really worry about going into that.
Maybe. 364 days, where are you?
I'd like to know what. No, I mean, presumably it's based on more than just the immediate day. Maybe. Who knows? I'd like to know how can I qualify for being a tzaddik gamur, or how can I qualify for being a tzaddik? Rasha, fine. What else? What other questions might we ask?
What happens if you stay a Beinonim?
You mean after Yom Kippur? Are there any Beinonim after Yom Kippur?
I mean, you can only move to Sefer HaChaim if you're a tzaddik gamur.
Uh-huh.
Okay, is that true? Maybe. No, maybe not. Maybe that's not true. Maybe.
So maybe after
you have to fall on one side or the other.
Like the people do this, and it was experimenting 2 weeks ago as well.
What's that?
What happens with the talent who dies during the year?
Good. Okay, so that's a different question. Good, that's question number two. Is this true? Is this what we see in life? Presuming that we actually understand what the tzaddik is.
That's the old question. Tzaddik
good question. That's a great question based on, you know, book chazi. Go ahead and look. Okay, good. So then we have to figure out what this means. Then. It says that tzaddikim are going to be nechtavin l'chayim. And we see people who presumably or seem to be tzaddikim, and they die. And they may die between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they may die right after. Good. Question number two. There's another easy question here, guys. It's just sitting here.
They're not allowed to write on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, that's not the question I was thinking of. No, there's an easy question here that I'm just... Guys... I thought Ami was going to go there because Ami started off by saying, "What do you need three books for?"
Just in terms of
how many books get used?
It's two.
Sefer Chayim and Sefer
Lulav.
There's only two, but it's, there are three.
That's what we said. Well, the ones
are 10 people. You didn't finish your thought then.
Most of us start.
What's the Sefer? What's the third Sefer?
Binonim.
Yeah, but what's it used for?
We all start off there.
It's a holding place.
It doesn't say that. It never says anything is written in the Sefer Shel Binonim.
But it sounds like Sefer Benoniim.
It's missing.
It's a holding place. If I'm a Benoni, I'm in holding.
It's fine, but you don't need a
book. Will I wind up on this side?
You don't need a book for that. You don't need a book for that, and you don't seem to have a book for that.
You need it for 10 days. It's written here.
So what you're saying is that you get written in the book of life, or you get written in the book of death, or you get written in the book of
Benoniim.
Except it doesn't say that, does it?
Why?
That's what it says. Where? Benoniim. Benoniim.
Benoniim are written in the Sefer of the Benoniim.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that it's written.
What's the
question?
There is a more simple question as well, not really related. It's not just a sefer of miyachem. It's called other attributes that go alongside it as well. Good. Not a question on the Gemara, but a good point. Maybe you guys disagree with the question, but I think it's a glaring omission that it doesn't say, okay, it should say nechtavin the sefer of Shabbat. But then, and then say, okay, and then Yom Kippur, it comes out. Okay, fine.
But then on Yom Kippur, we go down to two books. We agree that.
For sure. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be the Sefer Shel Binyanim after Yom Kippur.
or for that moment of Yom Kippur. That in that state of Yom Kippur where people are judged, there is no Binyanim. You're either...
I don't know when it happens, but on Yom Kippur something happens, and at some point Zachu Nechtavin L'Chaim, Lo Zachu Nechtavin L'Mita. That's it. Some point.
It's by the end of Yom Kippur. When you
which is why I'm saying that what does it mean to be a Tzadik Gomor?
It's also interesting, by the way, now that I notice it.
Is it on a Sunday, or is it on a Friday, or is it Mamash?
Now that I notice it, it's also interesting that for Rosh Hashanah, it says Nechtavin V'Nechtamin La'alter. For the Rasha and the Tzaddik, but when it comes to Yom Kippur for the Benoni, it only says Zachu Nechtavin L'Chaim, below Zachu Nechtavin L'Mita, and it doesn't say Nechtamin, which is interesting because we definitely say Nechtamin, which is what the Mishnah, which is what the Braita said over here. It said Nechtamin, so it's, I don't have anything to say about that, but that's interesting that it doesn't say Nechtamin. Okay. Let's just do a little bit more, and then we'll go into the sheet. Amar Rabbi Avin, Ma'ikra Yimachu miSefer Chaim ve'am Tzadikim Tzadikim Ali Katfu. You know, erase me from the Sefer Chaim and with the Tzadikim Ali Katfu, and don't write me with the Tzadikim. This is from Tehillim. It certainly sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu saying it, but it's actually David HaMelech writing, or at least editing it. Who knows who actually wrote it? Unless we do. Pinchas, is this a perek that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Samach Tet? I don't think so. All right, I don't know. So, where'd it go? Zesi Francho Hashem Morit, Chayim Zesi Francho Tzadikim, Vim Tzadikim Ali Katu, Zesi Francho Binonim. Okay, fine. Rav Nachman, yeah. Right. That's one proof text or one attempt to figure out where Rav Kuzvadai got this from, because Rav Kuzvadai doesn't tell us where he gets it from. So we're looking for the source. So one source is this pasuk in Tehillim. Another source of Nachmar Yeskamar Mehacha, Vim Ain Mechenina Misifracha. There you go, Asher Katav. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, remove me from that book. Mechenina Zesifran Shel Rishayim. Misifracha Zesifran Shel Tzadikim. In other words, don't write me that one or that one. Asher Katav Zesifran Shel Binonim. Now we see that there is a third Sefer. There's very much a third Sefer. Tani Beit Shami Amrim Gimel Kito Ten Liyom Adin. You know what? That's enough. We'll stop there. Let's talk. All right, here are the sheets. All right. The way I see it, there are a few major issues that we need to deal with. And they all revolve around one main issue, which is, what is the din handed down on Yom Kippur for? In other words, what is decided on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Which book you end up in.
And what is the relevancy of that? No, what does that matter?
Sorry?
What is the din that gets handed down on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? For what? What happens? What's the fallout? Alright? And we're going to see there's at least three positions in the Rishonim and Achronim, and they're pretty well defined. And they really got into this. In other words, this really bothered the Rishonim. Now, where does it all come from? So, the way that the Rambam codifies this halacha, makes it clear. Adam, it makes it very, very I don't want to say mundane. He makes it very practical. Adam shavonotav merubin al zchiyotav miyad hu meit berishon shenemar al rov avonecha. He's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Person who has more sins than mitzvot immediately dies.
On Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
He's called Rosh Hashanah more in the...
Well, that
more.
This is Rambam. Now, the Ravid immediately pounces. No, no, it doesn't mean that they immediately die. Because you see that there are Rishayim that live for a long time. No, just means that their life will be shortened. In other words, they get a verdict that their life is supposed to be X number of years, and now it will still be X, it will now be X minus Y number of years. How do we know? We don't. So we just, you know.
Deeply concerned with the Rambam.
With the Rambam.
Yeah.
You should be.
He's such a practical person.
100%.
Unless the dot, dot, dot means something,
nothing he says there will help. That's why the rabbit asked the question. Okay, good. Well, we can see where he based it on.
No, he
based on the Gemara. He just based on the Gemara.
He's probably more closer to the Gemara than he knows.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. You're right. There's work to do in the Rambam, and the Ravid, you know, started it off. There's work to do in the Rambam. Maybe we'll get back to it later. But before we get there, what is the Rambam definitely assuming, or at least as read simply? The Rambam is assuming that was the sign, and the Ravid as well. Both the Rambam and the Ravid are both assuming that the din that gets handed down on Yom Kippur is whether or not a person dies physically in this world. Whether it's now, whether it's a shortened life, something about the fate in this world. Alright? So according to them, when we say Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Metim, Nechtamim, Benechtavim, we're talking about, and when we're davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're supposed to be davening to Hashem for our very physical lives, that we should continue to live in this world.
Just a maybe a silly comment, but the whole idea of Chayim v'Mavet is not, the Quran doesn't say it's necessarily speaking about on an annual basis. So when a person is said that they're in Sefer Chayim or Sefer Mavet, it doesn't mean that, you know, for...
That's the Ravid. We take it as the Ravid.
But even if you could take from the...
Yeah.
Probably rather not, but certainly from the Gemara, it's not explicit.
Yeah, the Ravid read the Gemara. It's definitely legitimate in the Gemara. You'll get confused because it'll be like, okay, well, every year it changes, but fine, leave that alone for now. The Ravid.
It's an ongoing thing, you're always.
The Ravid can read the Gemara and it can still be, you know, but what I wanted to just point out is that this is very much about Olam Hazeh. Alright? Now, skip the Ramban for a second because I really want to savor it. So before we get to the Ramban, let's take a look at the opposing view. Take a look back at the Gemara for a second. And take a look at the Tosfos towards the bottom. Menechtamin. La'altu l'chaim. By the way, where did the Rambam get right away? It says la'altar, right? Now, we read la'altar as in you'll be written immediately. The Rambam says, you'll be written to be immediately alive or dead. So anyways, Tosfos says something different. Midkachashiv beinonim, mashmid tzadikim kari lemisha zichiyotav mirubim, urshaim gmurim lemisha avonotav mirubim. Alright. But similar to the Rambam. It's just a matter of, you have more of these or less of these.
That doesn't sound like gamur. When you talk about rasha gamur or tzadik gamur, you're talking about more
zechuyot
and averot makes you a tzaddik
gamor. 100%, right? So actually, if you look at Rashi,
what are the odds that you'll have the exact, at any given moment, the exact amount of averot?
So take a look at Rashi. So y'all, take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rishayim gemurim, the second to last Rashi. Rishayim gemurim
rubam
avanot. And then strangely, beinonim, what does he say? Now, there's some dispute about how to read this Rashi, but certainly the simplest way to read the Rashi is what he says. It's half-half. Okay? That's one shita. One shita is you're half-half. If you're to the one side or to the other at all, then you're either a Rashi Gamor or a Tzadik Gamor. That's it. That's how Rashi says. Rashim Gamorim, Rubam Avonot. That's how Tosos read it. That's how the Rambam seems to read it.
I'm getting back into...
It's not something that...
Seder, but you still have more.
Tzadik is not going to be judged on his schar, because automatically, you know, I'm just saying, my whole view of this, and I'm not minimizing it at all, I'm just saying it's so... I say this in the most covered way possible, irrelevant, because it's not something that I could ever compute.
Oh,
yeah. And what I'm saying is that for you to be, you're giving shir, your schar is not just on you, it's, well, now there's nine guys sitting here that in your Facebook is going to be, what is the knock-on effect for them, lo'olam or something, about, you know, it's not something that I'm really capable. I think this
is... I won't argue that every single thing here is going to be relevant to halacha l'maisa and how you live your life. But some of it will. Some of it will affect the way that you daven on Yom Tov, because ultimately we need to understand what we are davening for. Some of it will. And some of it won't, but is either A, interesting, or important because it's Talmud Torah. And also important in terms of trying to understand Hashem. We're also trying to understand Hashem in the way that He structured the world. We have over here, apparently, a machloka between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam thinks, it sounds like, that when people are bad enough, they get killed immediately. On Rosh Hashanah. And the Ravid thinks, no, that's not how things work. Now, we have to understand the Rambam, but that's a legitimate machlokas. And as well, here's another machlokas going on. So far, we actually only see one side. We only see one side of it. Rashi, on the one hand, Rashi says, and we see this in the Rambam and in Tosfos so far, that the Tzadik Gamor that we're talking about over here is not a Tzadik Gamor like we usually think, that a person who doesn't have any sins, but it's just somebody who has more sins.
Tips of scales.
Yeah. And which is surprising, because that's a lot of people. Shouldn't that be a lot of people? That should be most people should fall into one category or the other.
He thinks that sticking you to see one person down Rosh Hashanah.
What?
Sticking you to see one person down Rosh Hashanah.
Right, or, you know, or much more, yeah.
This is what's bothering me semantically, the word Gamor means total.
Right, so that's not how they're reading it, though.
That's not how they're reading it. That's what's bothering me.
So here, take a look at what Tosas says. So take a look at what Tosas says, because Tosas at least is going to be safe from our criticism. Tosas will be safe from our criticism. Why? Because Tosas says, "Upamim atzadikim nechtamin lemita." I'm in Tosas still, the second line. "Upamim atzadikim nechtamin lemita urshayim gmorim lechayim." Sometimes you'll actually find that tzadikim will be inscribed for death, and Rishayim will be inscribed for life. Tichtiv, u'mishalem l'sonav el panav l'havido. We're going to get back to this in the Ramban. This is based on this pasuk in Dvarim, that Hashem sometimes punishes tzaddikim in this world and rewards Rishayim in this world, so that in the next world, he can reward the tzaddikim more and punish the Rishayim more. Sometimes he does that.
But not always.
No, we never know.
You
can never know. You can never know. It's not random from Hashem's perspective, but it looks random from our perspective.
You can infer nothing from a
exactly. 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 It's a good life.
That is my comment about it.
A good life.
What?
A good life or a good
death. Well, here we go. Damin v'zof perakam v'kedusha misha zichiyotav merubim me'avonotav dome k'misha sarefet kol ha'torah kula. Somebody who has more zchuyot for than his avonot is going to be like somebody who burned the whole Torah. What do you mean? It's saying that the fate of somebody like this looks like the fate of somebody like that. So what's going on? So what did Tosfos just say? He said, when it says nechtavim nechtamin la'al to l'chayim, what does that mean? It means olam haba. It means that your fate in olam haba is being determined, not olam hazeh. And now, when we look at Tosfos, it says, "Oh, tzadikim gemurim, tzadikim and rishayim gemurim." It's talking about somebody who has more. This. Then we're like, "Oh, yeah." I mean, that makes sense. If somebody has more mitzvot, then you should get chayel olam haba. If he has more averot, you should get chayel olam. You should not get chayel olam haba.
For that moment, because one olam haba. The next Rosh Hashanah can all change.
Can all change.
So what are you
Good question. Good question, and Tosis doesn't answer it. Good question, and Tosis doesn't answer it. Just like Rambam doesn't answer the question that we asked. There's only one Perush that I saw that really goes out of his way to make everything work, at least according to his Shita, and that is?
Rambam.
Gorgeous Rambam, and he says it in at least two places. Once in his Drasha and Rosh Hashanah. Drasha and Rosh Hashanah is a masterpiece. All of the themes, not all, but very many of the themes of the Rambam in his commentary are in his Drasha for Rosh Hashanah, which is like 20 pages, to be fair.
I tried to read it.
Drasha for Rosh Hashanah is like 20 pages long, but the themes that show up in his commentary about Hashkacha Pratit, about Shabbat, about Yom Tov, about this, what we're about to see, all show up in that Drasha. I don't know. Whoever was at that Drasha is a kefaya. There were like four people, but which is what he writes. Like they couldn't get a minion in Akko. But it's amazing. And I put it over here. It's a long piece, but it's so kedai because you see how brilliant it is and how hard he worked to make it all make sense. So join me in the Ramban.
By the way, if we're saying that this is the Chayel of Ramban, this is going against what he's talking about.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least with regards to... No, because it's not about the tefillah. This is about your ma'asim. The tshuva that you do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is for the purpose of Olam Haba. That's what Tosfos is saying. Aside from the tefillah. And the Rambam is saying, no, it's for this world. The Ravid is saying it's for this world. Rashi didn't say. Take a look at this Ramban. All right? Let's look at it. V'achshav, anu tzuchim lefaresh ma'u adin hazeh sha'adam midon bo. You have to explain, what is this judgment? V'alo, amru chachamim, ki b'shad mitato shel adam nidon. But aren't you judged when you die? K'mo sh'amru b'perek kama detanit, b'shad p'tirato shel adam, kol ma'asav nifratim lefanav. V'omrim lo, kach v'kach v'asita b'yom ploni. And then you're supposed to say, yeah, I did. Or no, you can try to deny it, but he's got a videotape. Od is kiru chachamim, sh'yom adin hu la'atid lavo. But then there's another maimer that says, yom adin is in the future. B'zman t'chiyat ametim, when Mashiach comes, that's going to be yom adin agadol. Kamosha Shaninu, Dora Mabul, Enlem Chelek Le, Olam Haba. Dora Mabul. What does it have to do with anything? Apparently, it has to do with Olam Haba. Vein Omdin Badin, Anche Sodom, Enlem Chelek Lom Haba, Aval Omdin Badin. Vein Harbe Bidivraim, Ubakan Shan Babaita, Shalosh Kitot Liom Adin. And that's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Uperish Rabin Shlomo, Kshayich Yomitim. Alright, so he doesn't think so, but you got at least three different defined times where a person is judged. Every year in Rosh Hashanah, when he dies, and some distant point in the future, hopefully not too distant. What are we to make of all this? What are all these judgments of, like? What's going on?
Can I get into one little deal here? Dora Mabul Imam Chedek Lalam Abba. Dora Mabul was already punished.
The point is, they're not going to get Tchiyat HaMetim. That's what he's saying. That's what the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Yeah, and they're not going to get Olam Abba. Okay. Here we go. You guys ready? Barosh Hashanah, kol bay olam ovrin lefanav v'nidon kol echad v'echad b'inyanei olam hazeh. All right? Ramban is firmly in the Rambam Ravid camp. It's all about olam hazeh on Rosh Hashanah. Im zacha latet lo chayim v'shalom v'osher v'nachasim v'chavod onit chayev lamut b'shana zu ol yisrael v'tzar v'oni. Ami, here you go. Chayim and mavet. It's not only chayim and mavet. It's not only about whether you live or you die. There's a lot of other things in the Tana Tokef. All that is included in Chayim and Mavet. He's going to make that clearer later. Ramban, this is classic Ramban. Ramban very often, in many instances, will take a defined term in Chazal, in Gemara. Here it's Chayim and Mita. In other places it could be Bitul Torah. And expand it. So for example, over here we'll say Chayim and Mita could mean anything that happens in this world. Wealth, sickness, children, war, it can mean anything. It doesn't have to mean life and death. Bitul Torah doesn't have to only mean Bitul Torah of Talmud Torah, it could be Bitul Torah of Mitzvot. That's what he says in other places. In other words, he feels licensed to read the words liberally, when it makes sense. Aval, eino nidon al hanefesh, im tiskeh legan eden ulechayolam haba. There is no judgment or Rosh Hashanah about what's going to happen to you in Olam Haba or anything to do with your nefesh. או תתחייב לגיינון וידוודון. כך תקנו לנו חכמים בתפילה. Look at it. זה היום תחילת מסכת, זה קרוב ליום ראשון, ועל מדינו בו יומר. It talks about מדינות. Once you're talking about מדינות, what happens on the countries, then you have to be talking about this world, and you have to be talking about this worldly things. You have to be. ואמרו על מדינות, כלומר, דין הרבים שהעולם נידון אחר רובו, והזכירו בהן חרב, ושלום, ורב, וסובה. Right? Those are things that happen in the world. וחזו ואמרו, בריאות בו יפקדו, this is from our תפילה, שהוא דין כל יחיד ויחיד, והזכירו בו חיים ומוות, וכן בגמרא, אמרו שלושה ספרים נפתחים. This is how he reads our Gemara. The three books that are open, that has to do with this world. What happens with this world, presumably, this year. Only this year, for the next year. הזכירו בכאן חיים ומיטה, ולא אמרו לגיהינום ולחיי עולם הבא. Doesn't say that. כמו שהזכירו בברייתא הסמוכה שם בשלוש כיתות ליום הדין. He argues with Tosfos. Tosfos conflates the two Gemaras. Because the Gemara right after that we didn't read, it starts talking about Olam Haba and Gehinom. Tosfos says, oh, it's all talking about the same thing. Ramban says, no, this is talking about Olam Haza. That's talking about Olam Haba. Now he also points out, based on the shir that we gave last time, he says, Yesh mefarshim, shezeh ala rav shabah b'midinot, machmat atzman, did I skip something? Okay, the point that he makes over here, I don't have to read the whole thing inside, the point that he makes over here is that there's actually two separate dinim even for the world. Because we saw in the Mishnah that we read last time that there are four periods of judgment for the world, including for Peirot and for Mayim. Mm-hmm. What about that? So the answer is, yeah, with regards to Peirot and with regards to Mayim, so every single one has its defined point. So that's for the whole world. Is this going to be a good year for the world? For rain. But then each Medina and each person gets their own specific din. If they're really bad, so then, you know, for example, if London is really, really bad this year, so then they'll get no rain or too much rain. I don't know what it is. Or too much rain. Okay, fine. So every Medina can also get their personal din. That's separate from the general din of the phenomena that we were talking about last time.
You can actually be a person judged for both. It's not just Olam
Hazeh. Just wait. I will show you how beautiful and sweet this Ramban is.
We did say also, we sidetracked a bit, because we did say last time also that there were four opinions of women.
There were a bunch of, yeah.
And there was one opinion that you judged every moment every day. That's not really fitting in here with the Ramban. It's taking the
first mission of Rosh
Hashanah. I don't know if it can't fit with the Ramban. Why can't you be judged every moment? For the world, because he's following the opinion. Yeah. After the .. Chalol shel davar Rosh Hashanah yom hadin hu la'olam hazeh. Here we go. V'sha'at mitato. It's the line that starts with the word Hashana above the bold shehu olam hanashamot. He says in the middle of it. He says v'sha'at mitato shel adam hu yom hadin shelo. When a person dies, that is his din for his nefesh, not for his goof, as we will see, but for his nefesh. For where? For the olam neshamot. For Ramban, when a person passes away, he goes to a place, his soul goes to a place called olam neshamot. It's the kind of, whatever, it's another dimension. I don't know much about it. I haven't been. Or maybe I have. I don't know. It's olam neshamot. Okay. It's heaven, olam hanishamot, where you live there as a soul. And you are judged what your fate is going to be there on the day that you die, because that's like the end of your life. So, very simple, you get judged again.
Right then and there.
What? Well, not clear. According to Ramban, Gan Eden and Gehinom are very real places that physically exist. In fact, I think he says that Gan Eden is in Africa. What? It's in Africa. It's in Africa, and everybody knows it.
Cape Town.
Do you have the Kruvim, though?
I'm hoping it's
the lightning? Do you have a lot of lightning? It describes the lightning.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not Canadian, right?
The Choma Asav Nifratin Lifnei Baro Yitbarach. They count all of your actions that you did during your lifetime. He says, you are going to go to Gan Eden. Fine, that's Olam HaNeshamot.
So what's the opposite of that?
What do you mean? Gan Eden and Gehinnom are two opposites. Yeah.
No, so we say this Gan Eden and Gehinnom.
That's what he says over here. Okay. It's too much to. Yeah.
It's an opposite, so it's not a guarantee that you're going to Olam HaNeshamot.
You're going to go to one of the two. According to Ramban, you're going to go to one of the two. The Rambam has a suspected shita that he thinks that you just if you don't merit, then you just go to oblivion. But the Ramban hates that because he says, well, then you're not going to get punished. You're going to get scot-free. That's not fair.
Is that third book in that area?
For this, no. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, no purgatory. It could be that you go to Gehinnom first, and then you go to Gan Eden. Yeah, things like that. That's what the Gemara gets into after. Od yesh din acher, yom din acher, shehu yom din l'shnehem, l'guf l'nefesh. Now this is particular to the Ramban and many other Rishonim. What does the future hold? Well, everybody agrees that the future holds. There's going to be a tchiyat ha-meitim, and the dead are going to come back to life. Right? But what happens after that is the big question. And is that the end game? So according to Ramban, it is 100% the end game. Once we come back, we don't go anywhere after that. That's the permanent state after that. We will live guf v'nefesh, I don't want to say on earth, but we will live guf v'nefesh forever, like that. The way that Adam Rishon was supposed to be like that. That is contra the Rambam, who believes that after we come back into Tchiyat HaMetim, we'll die again, and then live in Olam HaNeshamot. And then that's it. That's the end game.
According to Ramban, at what moment is Mashiach in that?
Mashiach will come beforehand. Chiyat HaMetim will happen sometime after that. He doesn't mafarate so much.
Does anyone go to Olam HaNeshamot?
I think so.
That Olam at the time of Mashiach will still go.
Yes, but not necessarily everyone will come back. But not necessarily everybody will come back with Chiyat HaMetim. But not necessarily everybody will come back.
Could be us.
V'hu sh'anevim haskirin oto mafligin olav. Okay, that's what the Nevi'im are talking about. Now, So what the Ramban just did for us is he made some Seder. He explained to us what the Yom HaDin is, at least Rosh Hashanah, and what the future. This is very helpful. Okay? This is very helpful in terms of understanding, if he's right. Which I think he is. It's very helpful in understanding Chazal in many different places, and it's helpful in understanding Rosh Hashanah, and it's very helpful in understanding our Gemara. What we're stuck with, though, is, well, actually, we've already made great strides, because now we understand that Mitah and Chayim don't have to mean Mitah and Chayim. He's already done a great job for us because
and
he basically said that.
Hazeh,
right, he's already helped us with that. But the problem with saying Olam Hazeh, the problem that the Rambam had was he said, okay, you're going to die right away.
Right.
And we see that doesn't happen, and you don't even die that year.
And he doesn't link it to the Yom HaZeh HaNeshamot, whenever that's actually.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
Nothing to do with that. But wait till you see the next thing that the Ramban does. Because the Ramban still has a problem. Because we still see that the good suffer. And the bad prosper. That's a problem. How could it be that the good suffer at all and the bad prosper at all? After all, they should get fine. They don't die. The bad should get sick and the good should get healthy. That's what should happen. But why don't we see that happening? So now the Ramban takes the next audacious step. Okay, and this is where he really takes off. V'yesh lishol v'hech pasak Rav Yochanan pasak din hayom hagadol v'almok hazeh shekol razi olam tulin bo tzadikim gemurim nechtavim nechtamim lechayim v'chol rishayim lemeitim. And the Rishayim are the ones who enjoy this world. They're the ones who seem to get the most out of it. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, Rabotenu Mahabchin Ka'arazu, they overturned it. Amru Masechet Kedushin, Komishas Chiyotav, Merubin, Miyabonatav, Meri in law, anybody who's good gets bad. Vedoma Kimisha Saraf, this is what Tosfos quoted. We see that the good actually get bad, and that seems to be the way of the world. That's justice, apparently. They're supposed to be punished, but I don't understand. The Gemara says tzadikim gurim nechtavim la'alto lechayim, and the Ramban said that's for osher and kavod, and the Rishaim are nechtavim v'nechtamin la'alto lemita, and that's for tzar and oni and mita. You can't have it both ways, Ramban. Either you have to say, you can't both say that our Gemara is talking about olam hazeh. And we'll make it a little bit more open and say that people don't have to die, but they at least have to suffer or they have to prosper. And it's the good ones that prosper and the bad ones that suffer. And then on the other hand, you have all Gemaras that say that the good suffer and the bad prosper. And in a new road, that's what we see. So what do you do? So here's what Ramban says. In Cain, Harasha Hagamur Hamuchlat, Shavad Avadazara, Vasea Gilui Arayot, Ushvichud Damim. You have a Rasha in your hand who's done all of the most terrible sins. Va'asa mitzvah achat levada. שדינו בפני הקדוש ברוך הוא לשלם לו שכרה בעולם הזה, שיחשה השנה הזאת, which causes it such that, maybe because of what the Chazal say about giving, you know, the reward to Rishayim in this world, causes Hashem to say, okay, I'm going to reward you in this world because of this one mitzvah that you did, so that I can punish you in the next world for all the averot that you did. Guess what we call that? Nikra bakan tzadik gamur. Lefi shenit tzadek badin. Before you roll your eyes, Rabban said something very simple. All he said was that that person, in the context of our Gemara, will be called a tzadik gamur for a very simple reason. Because he won the verdict of whether or not he's going to prosper or suffer in this world. I would even call Achav a tzaddik gamur. Now, how does he have the chutzpah to say this? No, the answer to that is he's the Rabban. But the other answer to that is that I took it out. But what he says is, how does the Torah say what happens when two people go to court and the verdict is set down? What does it say? V'yitzdigu et ha-tzadik v'yirshu et ha-rasha. Now, you have, okay, the slimiest, swarmiest, jerkiest guy who's going into court against an angel, right? Against a guy who everybody knows he's a pillar of the community. But it happens to be that in this one single case, the jerk is right. And they walk out of court, and the jerk gets his money, and the tzaddik, right, ostensibly, loses. According to the Torah, Hitzdiku et tzaddik v'yirshu et harasha. Who's the tzaddik in that sentence? The tzaddik is the guy who won, and the rasha is the one who lost. That's all. In the context of din, of judgment, tzaddik and rasha are terms that are relative to the judgment itself. They aren't klaliistic. They aren't, oh, you're a big tzaddik. That's not what it means. It simply means you won the verdict or you lost the verdict. If you won, you're a tzaddik. If you lost, you're a rasha. Basher usha. Okay? So when the Ramban reads Shlosha Sfarim Niftachin, he says, Zachu, which is the word here, right? Zachu, at first it doesn't say anything at all. Tzadikim gemurim nechtavim nechtavim l'alter. But after it says, Zachu nechtavim l'chayim, lo zachu nechtavim l'mita. But Zachu, you succeeded, mita, chayim. Didn't succeed, mita. Doesn't say what kind of person you are. It just says that Hashem decided that in this case, for one reason or another, which we don't know, we pray, we do our best, and we hope that we get more chayim, I think. For whatever reason, he decides that you're going to die or you're going to live. That's all it means. All that the Gemara is saying according to Ramban is Hashem decides who lives and dies or who gets good stuff or who gets bad stuff on Rosh Hashanah. That's all it says. Let's say what kind of person they are.
Well, except that he says in a multiple different ways. So it's yeah, like a judgment.
Yes.
Which suddenly provides a lot more meaning and substance to the day because it's not a there's a person living and a person dying. It's in item A, B, and C is judged in these ways, and for item Z it's like this. And
could be, yeah. And I mean, on the one hand, it empties our tefillah a little bit of its power because it says, you know, what am I davening for? Do I want a good year? Do I not want a good year? I don't know. On the other hand, it allows us to say, okay, Hashem, you know, I don't know what you're going to do, but this is what I want. And you know, you decide whether or not I deserve it or whether it's the best thing for me, but this is what I want. And it at least lets us start make sense of it.
Is it not in your audience to be honest with ourselves that we should know that we are all at the Atlantic or Russia, or we should know it ourselves that we've done these things.
We should, we never will.
Else, right. We know.
Right.
No, but what
the Lord
done
to
the
judge ourselves?
I know what we should
know.
I think there was a middle point. It's a majority.
I don't know how
people
will judge
ourselves.
Well,
for you,
it doesn't have to be that. No, it doesn't have to be that. Some people get both. Some people get both.
So
yeah,
it does
say,
if nothing goes wrong for
40
days, start worrying.
Yeah, there is like that. If you don't have a bad dream, if nothing goes wrong, yeah, things like that.
If nothing goes wrong,
you let us stop.
But nothing goes bad includes like stubbing your toe and reaching into your pocket and taking out the wrong piece of change. That's the threshold is very low. No. So that's the Ramban. I think he worked the hardest, and he created something that I think, as far as I can see, is airtight. Whether or not it's right or wrong, it's answered all the questions. So what we've learned so far, though, is that actually, you know, these terms can be interpreted in multifarious ways. The word tzaddik itself can either mean tzaddik gamur, like we normally mean, that you're completely a tzaddik, which is probably the simplest way and the way that most people read this Gemara. Tzaddik gamur means that it's a very rare few that immediately get inscribed into the Book of Judgment for life. The way that the majority of Yishronim seem to read it is that it just means that you have more mitzvahs than sins. According to Ramban, it has nothing to do with that at all. It just means that God decided you win. That's all. That's all it means. Okay. Still a little bit more. There's the Rashba. Rashba says, on the second side of the page, Yesh tefarish tachayim umit tekamar bolam abba kamar, like Tosfot. Let me see, does he actually add anything? He just adds on. Says, what about a person who does tshuva at the end of his life? So what happens? He says, my nechtami la'alter. If in year one, so I was a rasha, and year two, I was a rasha, and year three, I was a rasha. So it says, if it's Olam Haba, that means that I'm going to Gehinom, right? But then in year 50, I do tshuva, and then I die, let's say. So now what happens? Like, wait, so what happened to all the other years, the Rashba says? Like, what was the point of all that? Which is, I think, the question that we were asking before. This is a hole.
If you die then.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. So he doesn't answer the question. He just says, yeah, it goes after the last time. It sounds like it means that if you happen to die that year, then this is going to be it for you.
You're not going to not go to Gehinnom if that's okay. I ask you to understand that.
No,
you have full tshuva the day before you die, you know, and you've had 49 years of rash.
Just mean
to
go
to Gehinnom for a bit.
No,
well, not necessarily.
The guy who invented everything on the planet and then put his head down and he threw his legs and whipped him. There's a bus call that says.
Well, that's a Bedudaya. Yeah, no, so if that's what the Rashba says, it goes both ways. It goes by the ending, that's all. It goes by the ending.
It goes by the both ways. So,
why? That's why you have an issue? All the Agadis and stories?
What?
2 days ago, going to tell me about the shape, and I was like, okay, this one is not.
What, Elijah Ben Dudaya?
Yeah.
What's the problem with Elijah Ben Dudaya?
No, no, no. Being hit by the scissors. She's on the
scissors. No, that's the other one. That's a different story. Those are two different stories.
No, not the scissors.
Elizabeth or Diane, the scissors stories are two different stories.
No, two different stories. I know.
From your image.
It was actually one of, I think it was Rabbi Beller's last Tshuva Drasha.
I remember that.
It was the one, frankly, it's the only one I remember. It was his best. It was amazing.
He cried himself
to death. No, she tells him.
His last Tshuva Drasha was comparing the two stories. About the one where the two guys that chase after harlots, or Elizabeth Dudai who chased after every harlot, and then she called out and said, "You're never going to do tshuva," and then he ran away. And then the other story is the one about the one with the tzitzis hit him in the face, and then she comes after to marry him and all that. So those are two different stories, right? But he compared the two. That one of them had a community to return to, and one of them didn't. One of them was all alone. And there was just a lot of good stuff in there.
Who is that?
Better. It was the last Tshuva Drasha that he gave. I tried to get it from Arnie, but I never did.
On Shabbos or is it?
On Shabbos Tshuva.
On Shabbos
Tshuva. Let's skip to the Maharsha. Actually, you know what? Let's skip over the Maharsha. We don't need him right now. Go to the last section. Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. Ruchniut. Okay, here, when you get to the Achronim, so generally when you get to the Achronim, all bets are off. That's like a rule. So let's see what they do. So Rav Dessler in Michdam Eliyahu, he says about this Gemara: Shlosha Svarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah, V'Kulam Le'Inyan Ruchniut V'Siyata Deshmaya V'Shvila. V'Chein Pershu Atosu Shagedar Din Rosh Hashanah Hu Le'Inyan Olam Haba V'Kavanatam Le'Inyan Hamadriga Ruchanit Shitochen Olam Haba Shalom. So Rav Dessler allegorizes the whole Gemara, including Tosus himself. And he basically says, it's not talking about whether or not you're going to die or live. It's not talking about whether or not you're going to go to Olam Haba, whether you're going to go to Gan Eden or going to go to Gehenna. It's about your relationship with Hashem. Your relationship with Hashem is somewhat set on Rosh Hashanah. They attribute this as well to the Gra, and that's how they say that the Gra, Rosh Hashanah said, this is how the Gra explained the Rambam. When the Rambam says you die, he doesn't mean you die, he means that your relationship with God is like one of death. Okay, fine. And that's decided pretty much immediately at that point. And that's how Rav Dessler understands this. He understands it and says that it's not talking about your fate physically or even in the future. It's talking about your relationship with Hashem. Your relationship with Hashem is being described as being dead or alive. Right? When you do that, then you know, it's very nice, but you don't have any problems anymore with the Gemara because it's kind of very high level. The Siftei Chaim of Chaim Friedlander as well, he says, Kviat Mahuto Aruchanit. Who did Rosh Hashanah al-Chay Olam Haba? Come on, Musag Ben Bayit. The idea of being a Ben Bayit. She'enu chayav liyot b'bayit. Elim hu'enu orech v'shayach l'anshei ha'bayit nikra Ben Bayit. B'chein le'inyan ma'a shamru chazal eitu ben Olam Haba. Ein ha'kavana sharak l'achar mo'oto yizkeh l'chay Olam Haba. El shachshav paru ben Olam Haba. So he says the term Ben Olam Haba doesn't mean that you're going to Olam Haba. That's not what it means. It means that you're in Hashem's good graces. Like, a Ben Bayit, even when he's not in the house of the person that he stays at, he's still a Ben Bayit, so too. Ben Olam Haba just means, it's a catch-all term, it's a phrase that covers a person who is in Hashem's good graces.
And someone who's worthy of Olam Haba.
Right, yeah. Last thing I wanted to do, this is the Ramchal, just to give us a little bit of time when we daven Shmona Esrei. Hinei, ha'adam nidon tchila al pi ma'asav limanot b'tzadikim o b'rashayim. וזה נקרא שממש ספר החיים וספר מתים. דהיינו הנקבע בין צדיקים הוא הנכתב בספר החיים, והנדחה ונקבע בין רשעים הוא הנכתב בספר מתים. Clear. והתלוי ועומד הוא הבינוני שאין דינו נגמר עד יום הכיפורים. ועל זה מתפללים ואומרים, זוכרנו לחיים. That's what we mean when we say, זוכרנו לחיים. That we should be inscribed in those books. ואומנם, עוד יש הגזירות על המקרים שוב על המזה. So he says, the Zachrinu L'chaim is about Olam Haba. But there's also Gzerot Olam Mikim Shal Olam Hazeh. Ki Avshal L'tzadik Shid Yaseh B'nei Sheyu T'tzadik V'Avshal B'nei Tzidko Yatzliach. It could go either way. U'l'Rasha K'mokin Avshal Sheyatzach B'nei Yot Rasha V'Avshal 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 Sheyatzach B'nei Yot Rasha. In other words, he separates the first two additions to the Shmona Esrei from the last two. He says the first two additions, that has to do with Olam Haba. That's asking for Hashem with the futures. As well as the second, but in the last two, that's about this world. That's this world. Chaim tovim. So, you know, Chaim tovim means I want Geshmak. I want the good stuff. Bracha v'shalom. That's not for Olam Haba. Bracha v'shalom. Those aren't terms for Olam Haba. Zerot tovot. That's for Olam Hazeh. Parnasa. That's clearly about Olam Hazeh.
Please God, you too.
So now the Ramchal has explained to us that not only do, you know, both of these concepts apparently are they relevant, but they actually make their way into the liturgy. And that when we can have kavana, when we say the first two of the additions.
It's actually not too much kavana because you don't want to actually need it in Austria,
so
I hope it will be delivered.
Oh,
well. I'm going to go back to that. What is it? Like, you know,
I
need it, but not too much.
No. All it has to be. No, but that's why we had the Bach and Tosis as well. You just have to not feel as if you're sure that it's going to happen just because you daven. You daven as much as you want.
Because you don't know what you're davening for.
Now if you get,
that's exactly the point.
Well, so no, that's what the Ramchal is saying. He's saying, Hashem, please let me have good. Please let me have good. However you can work it out, please just work it out so that I can get good, whether I deserve it or not.
The white smoke.
One of the things that someone said to you in the last one, the
Yeah.
Death as a punishment. death for the person may not be a punishment.
For the person, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
We had that
in Sanhedrin.
We had that
at
the Sunday night.
Yeah. The person who dies, he's lost.
Death is far more painful for the people who are left behind than it is for the person. That's what the commentaries say on why you shouldn't rip. You shouldn't rip kriya, because when you rip kriya, it's like you're acting. It's not. No. They should. They don't say you shouldn't rip kriya. You say you shouldn't hurt yourself, because when you overly hurt yourself, it's like you're saying, "Oh, this person. It's terrible that they died." But it's not terrible that they died. For them, it's not terrible. For you, it's terrible.
Isn't that about also the neshama is jealous one of the other?
That's true.
There's a big problem with the immediate dying or living. Because that would mean statistically that older people are more ashamed than younger people.
Yeah.
So
that's not the only problem.
Yes, I have my address for that.
Good. Skyach.
Is there a chance you can find somebody for Minion? That means that.